This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, welcome to another edition of That Millwall Podcast. Today we have a Who Are You? We have a little bit of a special Who Are You? Because we're joined today by the latest recruit to the That Millwall Podcast panel. I'm joined by Jay. Regular viewers will have spotted him on the lives. Jay, how are you?
Very well, mate. Thank you very much for having me. And don't throw too many tough ones at me.
No, not at all, mate. Not at all. This is an opportunity for you to tell your Millwall story, the listeners to perhaps get to know you a little bit better. I think as well, before we really get into it, you've kind of been thrown in at the deep end, because am I right in saying you've only really done live shows?
Yes.
So far.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I haven't done any pre-records. I haven't done any of the phone-ins. It's all been lives. It's all been in the firing line. So, yeah.
So tonight, you don't have to deal with the comments. You don't have to deal with the abuse that we all seem to get on the live show. Yeah. A nice little bit more of a relaxed feel to it. But Jay, let's kick it off. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, as you know, my name's Jay. I'm 34. I work on the railway, unfortunately, which is why you can see I've got lots of white hair, not just grey or brown anymore. It's now white. Very stressful. Family man, three children. Love Millwall, obviously, and I've had a season ticket there for over 20 years now. Sit at the Coldblow Lane Lower, block 36, and it's really my only sort of. I pair it with going out. That's my going out night. So normally, some people go out for a drink, or you know, they go football. No, that's I combine the lot, and when I go football, so that keeps the missus happy. That keeps me happy, but. But yeah, that's not really much to tell, mate. Other than that, it's pretty boring. It's a family man who goes football.
Nah, there's nothing, especially being a Millwall fan, there's nothing wrong with that at all. And you said there, season ticket holder for 20 years. How and why Millwall?
It's, you know, I grew up in the 90s. So as many like of our viewers and, you know, and our chat and that will understand, at school, everyone was like a Man United fan or an Arsenal fan. Like in the 90s, it was Man United, everything, you know. But my mum was born and bred in Deptford, you know. I lived in Mottingham for majority of my life. So the people that I didn't go to school with, where I lived and where I hung out with, they were Millwall fans. So you kind of find your way, didn't you? You're a young child, like 5, 6 years old, and you're at school and everyone's got these Man United tops on and, you know, these great teams. I think one of my friends was like, he told me he was a Brazil fan at one point in like the mid-90s, just because, you know, so you sort of find your way. And Millwall was where I settled logically with, you know, the people that I hung about with and where my mum grew up and my mum's side of the family. And he's been there ever since. So I've got the short end of the straw when it comes to picking teams, but I wouldn't change it for the world.
Absolutely. And you said, I think, so 20 years being a season ticket holder. What was your first game? And also, what was your first sort of impression of the ground when you first rocked up at the Den?
The first game I remember was Preston. We had Preston at home. That was the first game I went to. And we lost 2-0, I believe it was. And it was the first, I'd been to football stadiums before, but not really with an invested interest in that club. So obviously having that invested interest, being more excited to go, it was, and I went with a family member as well. So the excitement was spilling into the ground with on where they're talking me up and G-ing me up about the game, you know, trying to get, like I do with my son. I try, when I take my son, who's not really interested in football, I'll try and goad him into being interested, you know. I start trying to get put on his level to come on, you're going to love this, and that's yeah. what I received when I went, and just from then on, that was it, you know. I loved it, and you know, but when you're a boy, boys love the colour blue, just all the hot, everything about football, with Millwall was just it suited me like a hand in a glove, and that was that.
And you said at the start that you were. You sit Cobber Lane lower.
Yes.
Have you always sat there? Has that been the prodigal always. Seat? Have you moved around or
yeah. no? I've sat sort of, I used to sit and go up to like block 10 a couple of times just to see some friends that were sitting up there on the odd cup game where your season ticket isn't, you know, used. You can just but you have to buy your own season ticket for your cup games. But no, it's always been block 36, right next to the stairs, row H every year. And I don't change, and I've been asked a million times, but I won't move. It's almost like you see someone sitting there, and I don't want to see someone sitting there in the future. It's like it's my seat now. It's a bit of a selfish thing more than anything.
It's funny you say that, because I used to sit in the lower right behind the goal for years, and then I sort of about 12 years old, I said to my dad, I want to go upstairs because I wanted a better view, basically.
Yeah.
And the seat I sit in now is my seat. It's not. I mean, obviously, I've got my season to get there, and but it's my seat, and I can't, as you say, I can't ever imagine it's the same feeling. You don't want someone else to sit there because it's yours. It's your own little bit of Millwall. And in terms of the Den, I don't like it when people refer to it as the new Den, because we've been there now for a considerable period of time, 30 years. Yeah. Weird question, but do you like the ground? What is it about the ground for you that either makes it a good stadium, a bad stadium? What's the kind of vibe you get from it?
You know, I'm sort of on the. I really do like it. I like the fact that we're close to the pitch. We are quite close to the pitch as opposed to some of these other grounds. You see, they have track running around the outside of their pitch now for you know other sports and things like that. So I do like that. I don't. It's only recently started coming into the sort of modern type stadiums with the electronic boards going around and a bigger screen and stuff. So it's making improvements. I've always liked the idea of the Millwall Stadium or the Den having corners put in to create that atmosphere, make it even more. I would move the away fans at other grounds. When you see it, they stick the away fans in like a tiny little corner on the side so that the home fans can then have an atmosphere from all corners of the ground. So they're in every stand, you know, the home fan. I like that idea. I get that we're a sort of club where that's probably not going to happen. Right. Whereas we might have a select handful of rivals, we actually call rivals. We're the type of club that every team looks at on the fixture list when it comes out. When are we playing Millwall? Because as the motto goes, no one likes us. So, I can't see that happening. They're the sort of changes I would like to make the atmosphere better. But other than that, you know, it's a nice stadium for the level we play at. It's probably the right size for the amount of fans that we take and the amount of season tickets that we sell. So I wouldn't like it to be any bigger because I think we'd lose some of that atmosphere as well. So, you know, we tend to have it at the right capacity. So, yeah, they're the sort of changes I'd make if I was going to make any.
It's one of those, isn't it, I think, with the ground that I don't know if you've seen pictures of Everton's ground that's currently being built. And it just looks like every other generic Premier League stadium now. They're all they all look the same. The seats are a different colour and they have, you know, the different branding and whatnot. But I think it is a unique place. There's not many grounds. There's still a few sort of skirting around the lower leagues where you've got the four stands and that old school ground. But I certainly think it's something, the ground is certainly, there's changes that could be made, but it has to be the right way. I think that's definitely the way.
It has to suit the identity.
Absolutely. You can't come away from that.
No. Without and a doubt, I totally agree.
Moving on to individuals now. So much like me, we've been blessed with some good times since following the club. Favorite player of all time? And I will allow on all of these questions, because I do it with all the guests, I will allow an honourable mention if you're not sure, if you need to get a second name in there at all.
An honourable mention?
See, yeah.
See, it's hard for a favourite player of all time, because you want your brain's drawn to the Neil Harris's, the Stevens, the Kitchen, you know, these type of players, your Cahills. But I loved Paul Robinson. I absolutely love Paul Robinson. I don't think we've had a captain at that level since we had Paul Robinson. I think he's been the best captain we've had for a very long time. One of the best defenders we've had for a very long time. And just, he was a proper leader, a proper Millwall captain. And we had some great times under Paul Robinson, you know, promotions and playoff finals. Mm, and we had a good team. And that defence was really, really good, you know, when we had Darren Ward back there and players like that, you know, and just Paul Robinson. I always remember that Huddersfield in the playoffs, you know, getting that goal to send us there and just what it meant to him. And yeah, for me, Paul Robinson's my personal favourite from what he brought as a captain and a player and a leader. But I have also, as in my honourable mention, is Jimmy Abdou. Because I love Jimmy Abdou. Yeah. Jimmy Abdou is just, he's not Millwall at all. Like, you just can't fit him in. But the minute he steps on the field, he's pure Millwall. He does everything he's asked to do. The fans love him. He loves the club. And every manager that's come in while he was at the club has tried to get rid of him because he's not the greatest footballer. But they realise that he does a job that no one else can do. And they bring him back in when results start going against us and we start to pick him up, you know. And he scored some massive goals. The header against Wigan at home when we was in real big trouble.
Yeah.
Leeds away is the big one, obviously, you know. Southampton away when we nicked a draw there. That's one of my favourite goals of all time, the Leeds away. And just his reaction to getting that goal is just like how much he didn't expect it, for one, but also how much he loves the club, you know. And I was there at his testimonial game for us and got some pictures with him and that. And he's just such a great, underrated, not typical player for Millwall. And I think that because he's not the typical type player with how he looks or his background and where he's from, that's what makes him such a better player in my eyes, that someone like that has come to a club like this and they've elevated themselves into this conversation that we're having, you know, because he's had to work harder for it, as some of these players do. They're not always born with golden spoons in their mouth and they don't have the greatest chances that some of these players have, that we've had over the years, the likes of your Harris's and that I've said, he's had to work hard. And yeah, that's my honourable mention. But of course, you know, you talk your Harris's, your Kitcheners, your Stevens. They're obviously the top of the list for majority of people's list for reasons that are deserving, appearances, goals, that sort of thing. But yeah, Paul Robinson and Jimmy Abdou, just they are my personal favourite.
I think with Jimmy as well, he's the only man that could make thousands of Millwall supporters watch the Comoros Island in the African Cup of Nations.
Exactly.
When he made it. And it was for Jimmy. No one, he had no chance of ever getting anywhere really in the competition, but everyone wanted to see Jimmy play.
Yeah, he was the captain for him as well, wasn't he? So I absolutely loved it. And it was all for Jimmy. And like you say, when it's so hard for players at a club like Millwall, because All we want is for you to give 110% every week. You don't have to be the best footballer in the world, but we've said it on the pod many times. If you play for the shirt, we will have your back till the end of your career. We'll have your back and we'll support you. And you'll never feel alone at a club like Millwall if you give back to us what we give to you. And Jimmy's done that his whole career at Millwall. He did that.
Yeah, he did.
every single game without a shadow of a doubt. He never, if he had a bad game, it weren't for the want of trying with Jimmy. And he was a brilliant player for us. And yeah, might not be on everyone's list, but yeah, I've got a lot of time for Jimmy Abdu in the Millwall shirt.
100%. And moving on to managers now. Again, a successful sort of stretch in terms of managers. A couple of not so successful, of course. But favourite manager, sitting at the helm?
Again, I don't want to go too far back. I want to try and keep it in like my, you know, my time and longevity, because we haven't really had any managers that have had a period of time where they've managed the club for a long time. It's been like 1 year, 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. I think it's only been for like Kenny Jackett, Neil Harris, Gary Rowett that have got any form of sort of sustainability at the club. But for me at this time, I would have to say Harris for what he's done back to, you know, got us promoted. We went on some mental runs at the Den, you know, unbeaten runs, beating Premier League teams, you know, just missing out on the playoffs. Kenny Jackett as well, right up there, you know, playoff finals and promotions and again, big games. So I haven't really got a favourite manager of all time. I've just got favourite years of management from managers, you know, that if that's the best, if that's easily understood. I've got good times that I really enjoy with Harris, and I've got good times that I really enjoyed under Jackett and even under Rowett as well. You know, we had some great times under Rowett, but I haven't got a favourite manager of all time, just favourite errors.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough, because I think with all managers, there's good times and bad as well. So you do have to take the rough with the smooth, but you remember the better times, obviously, fondly under the managers in that time. Coming away from favourites and best and all the good stuff, worst player you've seen in a Millwall shirt. Now, there's plenty of candidates. There's plenty of options. Some of the names I've heard on this have been unbelievable when they come across. So go on, give me. And again, if you've got a couple of, if you want an honourable mention, then buy.
This could go on and on and on forever. And I don't think there's no right or wrong answer or no number one. I just think they've just all been bad. Danny Nguessen, that guy was horrific. Horrific. I've never seen anyone come on for 10 minutes and get subbed off as a sub. Like, he was that bad. Gary Taylor Fletcher, terrible. Absolutely terrible. I thought Rob Hulse, terrible. You know, you could even look at Goddard, you know, for the price tag that we paid, like what he did, Paul Goddard, was nothing. You know, that's probably the worst signing in overall that we made. But yeah, there's been some. Kevin Braniff, I thought Braniff was awful. I hated Braniff. I don't know if you remember Braniff.
I just hated
him. I just thought he was shit. But the problem with Millwall is there's been so many players that have been so bad. They've been so bad, because the list of players that have been very good is very small, because it's hard to succeed here. But yeah, Danny Nguessen, Gary Taylor Fletcher, Darren Byfield. I hated Darren Byfield. I really did. I thought he was so.
Oh, that surprises me. That surprises me. He scored quite a few goals for us, though.
No, I did not like him. I didn't like it because he was dating that pop star at the time.
Yes, it was.
And he was acting up a little bit, and I thought, oh, no, I just didn't like him. Not as a bad player, but I hated him as a person. Same reason I hate Jermaine Beckford for Leeds.
Oh God, yeah.
Just infuriates me, like what he did to Darren Ford that time when he elbowed him on the corner. That's the same reason for me. It was like it's like an impulse hate, but. There's been some real bad players, but yeah, Braniff, Danny Nguessen, Gary Taylor Fletcher, Hamer Boatzar, I thought was. I remember they paraded him around the pitch on a night game when we signed him, and that was it. That was that.
He scored one good goal, Hamer Boatzar, didn't he? That literally was it.
He brought in to be this free kick specialist as well. Like, he's a great left-footed player. He's going to score all these goals. Most of the bad players come in the forward positions, to be honest with you. We've had some terrible, terrible strikers. It's almost like Chelsea. We seem to sign a striker and they seem to die at Millwall like they do at Chelsea, you know. But, yeah, your Rob Hulses. Who else did we sign that not long ago? That Kenneth Zahor, I hated him. Yeah. Absolutely hated him. You that had, was another.
Matthias Rinnegi, remember him from Watford? Big lads. He was pretty poor. There's Baz Savage was another one. Another one that rocked up. You're right. The forward areas. When I first started doing this, and you asked people that question, I always struggled with it because, for me, playing a Millwall shirt, you want them to succeed. You want them to do well. You want to back them, but there's just certain players you look at and you just think, not this time. Like, and the thing is with Rob Hulse, you mentioned there, Rob Hulse scored the goal at Luton that took us to the semi-final of the FA Cup. He scored like overhead, and it's so annoying that it was him that scored that goal. It was a good goal. It's a good goal to take us to Wembley. But yeah, it was Rob Hulse. No, we've had some absolute.
I hated Rob Hulse. We always seem to sign him 5 years too late and 5 stone overweight. And think that they're going to have this second wind of a career. Like, I remember Gary Taylor Fletcher when I think it might have been Jimmy's debut. I think because he gave me his shirt. I've got it for my daughter. I've got a picture. I'll try and dig it out. And it was the overshirt for the training. He signed it, and I'm a big guy, but we were on par, you know. You couldn't tell who the professional footballer was when we were standing next to each other. But yeah, I couldn't stand Gary Taylor Fletcher, because another thing with it, Stephen, is that he thought he was the bollocks as well.
Yeah,
like he thought he was so good, and that we were a stepping stone for him to get his career back on track to play Premier League football. Like, when in reality, no, mate, you're here because you ain't very good and we're not very good.
No.
This is why you're here.
And he's mates with Holloway. I don't know if you've seen recently, and this is very recent at the time of recording this, that he called out Lee Gregory on Twitter for something. There was a tweet that had gone on and someone had tagged Gary Taylor Fletcher in it about...
What, really, real recent?
Really, I'll have to dig it out. I'll send it to you when we come off this. A comment was made. He replied to it. Something else happened and he was a Millwall fan, had tweeted him, and Gary Taylor Fletcher had said something along the lines of, if Lee Gregory could finish his dinner that season or whatever, and he kind of dug him out, and obviously other supporters got on it. And you look at it and you go... He was awful, and he missed. I don't know if you were there at Brentford that season when under Harris we drew 2-2. We went 2-0
away from home.
Yeah, right at the end. Yeah, right at the end, Gary Taylor Fletcher was in the middle of the goal, 6 yards out, and he somehow put it wide. And not having it. Shocking, I'm not having him.
He's up there in my top three or four, mate. Yeah, and criticize Gregory, who played with Morrison, and I think their record together was like ridiculous for goal scoring. Like they were so good together. Mm-hmm. Set up got the assist to send us into the championship. Scored goals in the championship as well. For him to have the audacity to comment on someone finishing is like that. And if I'm sure, obviously I know that's true. You saying it, but awful. What an awful player. Awful.
Absolutely. And in terms of. Again, this is an interesting one because I love my football. I take an interest in what goes on in the championship and around world football. But you tend to look at the better players at teams rather than the lesser players. But in terms of who's probably the worst player you've seen play against us? Now, I'll ask you that, and it can either be a performance or, like you said, a Jermaine Beckford, someone that you don't like. You can go down either route.
I've got a performance.
Right. Yeah. Go on.
A performance in a fantastic game, and it's got to be Christian Daly for West Ham.
100%. 100%.
That is the worst. That's the worst performance of even from a Millwall player. Like, that is the worst performance I've ever seen from an opposing player. And if that player was playing for us, worst performance ever. Like, he had the greatest day for me. He was man of the match for Millwall that day. Absolutely man of the match. Like, everything he touched turned to shit and turned to our fortunes. Like, it was, I don't feel for him one bit because obviously he's a vermin player at the time, but he must have gone home that night and sunk some beers or had a little cry or questioned his life, questioned his career path. you know, or something, because that was honestly horrific, like horrific performance. And one of the best performances that, or the best game, should I say, that we've had, you know, in that.
Yeah.
There's definitely one of the better games that I've been to, you know, to get that result and against them as well. But yeah, or a bit better when it when one of their players is the sole contributor to why they lost. Normally you lose and you go, well, you didn't defend it very well, or you know, you missed that one chance. Like literally, the entire West Ham dressing room must have just stood there looking at him. Because he was the sole reason. Like they there was a picture of Tim Cahill on the wall, and then Christian Daly sitting next to him going, these two are why we lost.
Yeah.
I don't know how he would have answered them questions.
No, not at all. And curveball question, slightly different, something that I'm introducing to it now. Over the years, if you could sign one player that permanently for Millwall over the years. Now, obviously, we would all say Messi, Ronaldo, people like that. But if we keep it fairly realistic, if you could sign any player during your time following the club, who would it be?
I'm going to keep it to like teams that we've played and that we have. I'm not going to start going down your Premier League teams. If it was someone realistic that I thought we could sign, and we should have signed at the time that they were good. I really liked the idea at the time of signing Charlie Austin. Because he went on and he scored some great goals and a lot of goals, and had a good career in the Premier League. And he suits me all. I think he's got that character about him. Really, really like Charlie Austin. I think he would have thrived in a Millwall shirt. And the other one I did like, again, this is in a forward position, is Shane Long. I thought Shane Long is such a grafter that would fit. Now, these ain't the greatest players, but at the times when they made their moves, these are players that realistically we could have probably gone and signed. Mm. And then we could have either made X amount of money off of them, or they would have propelled us into the next step. But don't get me wrong, they're not world beaters. That's not going to make everyone go, wow, yeah, you know, that's amazing. But they're both real, real solid top players at the time that went on to have good careers in the Premier League, score some goals. And I think that they would have really suited us down at Millwall, really do.
Charlie Austin's a good shout, actually. I've never thought of that. But that season we got promoted and he missed that chance at Wembley.
Yeah.
When obviously Robbo scored. That would have been interesting if we'd have had and Austin and Morrison.
And that was an opportunity to sign him then, because he was going. That everyone knew he was going. I think he bagged like 28 goals or something stupid that season. Everyone knew he was going, and he would have fit into this team so perfectly.
Yeah, he would
have. And he was young and he's scoring a lot of goals. And then the career he's had, we could have sold him on, you know. We could have either moved ourselves up the table and never know where we could have been with his goals. But it's hard to find a midfielder or anything like that to pinpoint, because there's been so many great midfielders who've tortured us. You know, I remember Southampton away, James Ward-Prowse absolutely destroyed our midfield, destroyed it before they went up. That would be another one I would love to have signed in midfield to shore that up. But yeah, Charlie Austin is sort of the impact one I'll go with.
And before we move on to games and moments and things, we'll keep it one more question about individuals. Current squad, 23-24. Who's your favourite?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Player in the current squad. I think I know what you're going to say, but...
I think it's everyone's favourite player. It's Ryan Leonard. I think Leonard is the man. I have got a real big soft spot for Billy Mitchell. I do love Billy Mitchell.
I thought you were going to go with.
He's Millwall through and through, but he's Millwall through and through, and he works really hard, and he's one of the very few that will give everything he's got for that shirt. Ain't the best player, but he will give everything for that shirt and run for a wall. But speaking away from that to who the best player has been this season, probably the player of the season, and who else gives everything they've got, and just such a utility man, and he's just flawless every time he plays at the moment. It's Ryan Leonard.
I don't think there'll be many people that disagree with that. I think Leonard's a shoo-in.
And that was hard. That's hard because I love Billy Mitchell. What he's done over this last 6 weeks or so, he's a massive reason why we are not staring the bottom three in the face at the moment, and that we've got a little bit of breathing room. He's a massive reason for that. But Lenny is also a monumental reason for that. And yeah, if he's not player of the season, then I don't know. They'll just have to scrap the award, I think. Because
absolutely.
It's like the Ballon d'Or when Pavel Nedved won it over Thierry Henry that year. In the biggest robbery in like sports award history. Yeah, if Lenny doesn't win it, it won't be far off of that, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And now moving away from players and individuals to games and moments. So what would you say is your most memorable match involving Millwall? So with this one, it's more revolving around the game itself rather than maybe an event or a moment or something. What would you say is a memorable game?
The game, again, I'm going to go back to that West Ham 4-1 at home. I'm going to go back to that because it had everything, you know. It was your big rivals, you know, and to win in that manner, that was a huge one. I could talk about playoff finals, which were obviously great. They weren't great games, you know. We won 1-0 against Bradford, and we weren't the better team. The Swindon game, you know, it was a moody corner, you know, just scrappy go. So these weren't great games of football. They're great events, like you said, but. Yeah, to beat West Ham like that, 4-1 at home, and to have proper bragging rights that year, that's probably the one for me. I'd like to go into Europe as well. That first game in Europe.
100%.
And I was there as well for both of them. And to even though we didn't win, we give ourselves a real good, solid account. And you thought, you know, maybe the future is looking up for Millwall. Maybe, you know, we could see a bit more of this. Hasn't happened since, you know. We've sort of regressed a little bit and what have you. But that's I think that's the highest point I felt, because that season I was really pissed off with Dennis Wise because we sacrificed the league to concentrate on that cup. We could have gone up that year.
Yeah,
really could have. Right? And we had such a good team. And he saw some silverware rather than the bigger picture, in my opinion. And then we had that playoff final and then got to Europe. And I thought, we've nearly got promoted, got the playoff final. The FA Cup final. We're in Europe. Like, this is good times to be a Millwall fan. Mm. It's really good times. But then we sold some players and, you know, and people left. And we started to drop down. And then we had ownership as well, issues. And it just... Yeah, it was the best time, but the worst times followed very shortly after. So while these games weren't very good, the best game, I think, I'll go with that 4-1, because it was just a hammering. Like, West Ham completely capitulated and everything we touched turned to gold.
Absolutely. And on that, the Ferenc Varos, the home game, obviously you said you're in the home end, I sit in the home end as well. I'm convinced when Wisey put that free kick in, the stand moved. I'm convinced the stand moved. It went, I've never I mean, there's been some amazing atmospheres and goals and the crowd go nuts, but I'm convinced that that night,
it was just incredible. The noise was something else. It was like, and he's like our all-time leading European goal scorer.
Yeah, I know, because he scored in the away leg as well.
He did.
He's got two goals. Both of our goals in Europe were scored by...
When he scored that free kick, it's got... I don't think it's the biggest noise I've been a part of, because the FA Cup final was like a ratio of like 3-1 Millwall fans. And when the players come out on the pitch for that, like that noise was ridiculous. Like Man United fans were just drowned out. It was like they weren't there for a massive club like that. So that was so loud. And obviously the playoff final Scunthorpe was the same, like massive crowd. But that in the Den, where it is a small, compact ground, that European night, like that one European night was just, it was magical. I mean, I've been to ones where we played Liverpool in the cup. We got hammered like 5-0. And they're good events and good nights. But that one was, was special for the atmosphere. It really, really was. 100%. Even the Huddersfield, it was on par with that Huddersfield game. That Huddersfield playoff game at home, it was on par with that.
And in terms of, again, this one sort of, I would imagine you might have answered it in your previous question. Favorite moment. So one moment in history or in your time following Millwall, if you could narrow it down again, as always, honorable mentions, but if you could narrow it down to just one, what would it be?
It would be that away game in Hungary, getting that European game, because that's the first one. And this is European football. Like this is mental. But I would probably, it's so hard. It's difficult to find that. I love the FA Cup final. I loved it. It was the pinnacle of trophies in England without your domestic winning the league. When the players come out, you know, at the Millennium Stadium as well, playing Manchester United, Ronaldo's, Roy Keane's stuff. That's the one for me, I think. I think I'll go with that.
It's just, as Millwall fans, it's just iconic, isn't it? Like, lots of clubs get to go. Like Man City, I think, have been in the FA Cup final, five out of the last six or something stupid like that. But for us, when you don't get to do that, at all, it really do you, and that one moment is just, it's just special, and it might happen again one day, it may maybe not, but we've done it.
It was the whole day, though, Stephen. Like, it was like you've got this Man United, you know, they're a massive club, like worldwide, massive club, and they've got a great following home and away. They sell out, they have some of the greatest players in the world at the time, you know, Alex Ferguson as manager, you've got Ronaldo, and little old Millwall turn up down in Wales, and we just took it over, just literally took Wales over, took the stadium over, and you know, the game didn't get too far ahead of us either. You know, we took an eye in, but you know, it was really feisty. You got, why is he getting in people's faces, and you know, there's little scuffles, and Marshall in goal had like the best game of his career. It could have been 8 or 9 without Marshall in goal. You know, it was the whole day was brilliant, and we didn't even mind that we lost the game. Because the game was just the whole atmosphere, the day with it was just, it was something special, and you want more of it, you know, like everyone wants the FA Cup in English football. That's the one you want to win. It's lost its sort of sparkle over the years, but for us at the time, you know, it was a big thing for a club like us to make the FA Cup final. It didn't happen, you know, so that's the one for me, I think, without thinking about the results. That's absolutely.
Absolutely. And this is a bit of a harder question because it's quite it is a bit more personal to you, but the funniest moment following Millwall could be in a game, could be on a way to a game.
I've got one, and it's quite fun. I think about it and I laugh to myself because I was at work the day before this game, right? And I'll tell you the game in a minute. And my brother's not a big Millwall fan. He's not a big Millwall fan. He doesn't mind going to the odd game. And he decided to drive, and we was playing Sheffield United, right? So, and it was not very long ago. We was playing Sheffield United, and he drive, and I'll just let him get on with it and whatever. I'll just let him get on with it. And but we got out of the car. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's not going to make for a good listen because I'm messing it up. But and we're walking and we're walking to the ground, and I'm thinking, I've not seen this before. This isn't right. Anyway, when we turn up, we'd gone to Sheffield Wednesday instead of Sheffield United on a match day. On the match, I swear to you, I'm not joking. I'm not making this up. We went to Sheffield Wednesday. We parked literally like 5 minutes from the ground. All these people with Sheffield Wednesday shirts walking around. It was ridiculous. I've never had experienced anything like that ever. And I weren't even angry. I didn't even have the umber bag. We missed the game and everything. It was so bad. We just ended up going to have a pint and something to eat. And because I was so tired, I'd just done the night shift. And he was good enough to drive and took us to the completely wrong place. I thought his knowledge or his understanding of where we was going and who we was playing was a little bit better than what it was. I expected him to either use Google or check his ticket, you know. But, oh, yeah, that was – I've had a couple with him, but that was by far, like, the stupidest moment we've both had. Like, yeah, that was terrible.
You've taken that quite well, because if that's in recent history, we've had some good games at Sheffield United.
Really good history.
You've missed out on a cracking
goal. I'll tell you when it was. I'll tell you when it was. No, I can't, because you'll know. Yeah, I'm not going to say it because you'll know. I'm not going to say who scored because you'll know. But yeah, that's what happened, and it was really bad.
We'll come back to that off air.
Yeah, but it was funny. It was just funny. Like, and I weren't angry or upset about it. I was upset about it. Obviously, we'd driven all that way, but yeah, it was quite funny.
And the thing with that is that's such a personal story. That question gives an insight sometimes to things no one would ever know that, because that's your story. That's personal to you. That's why it's quite cool to ask that. And again, last one on sort of moments and things. Best away day following Millwall?
Oh. See, you want to put these cup runs, you know, these FA Cup and Old Trafford and away in the UEFA. I want to throw them out there because they are away days. But
yeah,
there's a few big away games that we've had. Leeds away when we come back and 1-4-3. I was there that day. That was a fantastic game. I was there when Jimmy scored as well. That for me is probably the best away day, actually. I'm not going to go into any others. That one for me, when Jimmy scored that goal and we was on aggregate going to Wembley, that's the one. That's the best one.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there that night at Elland Road, unfortunately, but I always remember, and this is one thing that stuck with me, and it's why I can't stand, I mean, Leeds, you know, we know the history. It's the commentary on Sky when Jimmy scores that goal and they say, "Oh, they've scored," as if it was like so what are they doing, like like, what are you doing?
Who is Jimmy? He's not meant to score.
So
and them for me, sorry to cut you off, Steve,
that's all right.
Them for me, them iconic moments is if the commentary has to be so spot on. Like, when the commentary is good and the moment is good, it makes it iconic. And there's been, you know, your Gregory Far Post, Morrison's there, Jimmy Abdul. Yeah, yeah. When the commentary's there, or Cahill, you know, them that commentary, they make them goals live on forever. And you constantly watch them just for to hear the commentary, and you get goosebumps thinking about it. But yeah, I just remember Jimmy just running off. Like, he was confused that he'd scored, because he got into such a good position. There was no one within 5 yards of him on the edge of the 6 yard box. And yeah, took us to Wembley, and it was
unreal.
Yeah, that's the best one for me, because we got kept behind. Like, I can't even, because it was a night game as well, and we got kept behind. Like, I think it was like an hour, maybe even longer. It might have even been an hour and a half. We was standing behind, waiting for the police to do whatever they wanted to do, to the point where the players come and did their warm downs and everything, and we had some players on the pitch coming running over and Harris and that, but no one cared. Normally, it's like, I've got to go home. Like, I've got work in the morning or something. No one cared at all. We were just caught up in the moment. And that for me is the best way.
On that, I mean, without going too much off of obviously your story, when we beat Scunthorpe in the playoffs, when we got promoted under Harris, we were stuck in the car park for an hour after at Glanford Park? I think that's Scunthorpe's ground. We were stuck in the car park. We could have been stuck there all night. There was two Millwall supporters in a car blaring out, rocking all over the world, literally as loud as they could. You don't care, do you? You'd have sat in Elland Road all night that night.
Oh, 100%.
Who cares? Yeah, who cares? We're going to Wembley. And speaking of Elland Road and Leeds, I imagine that this might come up. I don't know. I won't speak for you. Most disliked opponent. Now, this doesn't have to be a rival. It doesn't have to be, you know, the teams that we all don't like as Millwall fans. It can be. Who would you say is your most disliked opponent?
Jermaine Beckford. I hate him. I hate's a strong word. You know, I really dislike players. You know, they might have played for West Ham, or they, you know, they might have scored a couple goals against us or whatever, but Jermaine Beckford, that wasn't the reason I hated him. It's because he was just such an arsehole. Such an arsehole. I remember when he elbowed Fordy in the mouth and his comments after. And even when I watch him on Sky now, he's just grates on me so bad. Yeah. And he wasn't even great against us. I think he scored a couple goals against us. But he wasn't that bad. But I just, for other reasons outside of other than how he performed against us, I just cannot stand him with every inch of my being. An honourable mention I'll give, who actually but one of them takes it really well. That was David Bentley. Now, whenever we played David Bentley,
he got
it so bad. But fair play to him. Like, he took it all on the chin. And he was quite respectful about it, saying, look, this is what happens. I've got to take it. You know, I know it's all in good art. So I really respect him for that. Still don't like him. But the other one was Paddy Kenny. No, I can't stand him either when he played in goal. I remember, you know, they had the incident with Muscat.
And I
sat behind the goal. And when we played them, everyone kept saying, oh, Muscat's going to get you, Musk. And someone said something about his wife. His wife had done something, had an affair or something. And he looked round like that. And so he clocked again, and that was it. Had him. This guy just had him. And he had a nightmare after that. So, yeah, but number one, 100%, Jermaine Beckford. I don't care what anyone says, you know, West Ham players, whatever. Jermaine Beckford, for me, public enemy number one.
What I always say, and I always think, and I did, I always do this, when Jermaine Beckford ever comes up on Sky, usually when Leeds is on, because they always wheel him out, just put on the penalty miss that night at Elland Road. Just put that on, and it kind of takes away from the...
You calm down a little bit. You have to split screen and listen to him talk and watch that penalty and just go, oh, okay, calm down,
It's all good, it's all good.
I'm quite a calm man. Yeah, I'm very much in control of my emotions. But I think if I saw him, I'd be quite worried how I'd react. That's how much I hate him. I hate him that bad that even if I just saw the sight of him, I'd probably lose my mind. It's the hatred runs so deep. And I like to think I'm quite a likable guy. I try to get on with everybody. I'm your friend before I know you've got to lose my respect rather than earn it, such thing. But him, I don't wish bad things on people. I don't care what happens to him. Sorry, Jermaine, if you ever watch this, mate, I don't like you, right? I don't like you.
When this goes out, I'm going to say to Mickey, can we tag Jermaine Beckford on... and he's going to think, what the hell is this? And just skip to this point.
And he's going to see this fat, grey-haired geezer.
Just slagging him off.
Just slagging him off. And you know, that's what he's going to see. And the irony of it is that he's in such a better place than me, financial wealth. There's nothing he can do about it. He can't respond or nothing. He's got to listen to me call him a bad word. I'm not going to, you know... be bad, but he's got to listen to me. Imagine that, watching me call and he's thinking, who the fuck is this guy? Like, that gives me joy.
And coming away from individual, so top three rivals, who would you say? Pretty bog standard, I think, but
it is bog standard. Your West Ham's, your Charlton's, your Palace. You know, you got Leeds United up there. You know, you probably your Chelsea's for nostalgia and for, you know, to the movies and what have you and all that lot. But you've got teams that you play against, that you've had games against, that you think, I fucking hate these. Bradford was one of them when we had that run in League One. League One. I fucking hate Bradford because I'm not on Facebook anymore, but I used to be part of like these championship groups or these League One groups. And there was this, I won't out him, but there was this one fucking geezer in there, this Bradford fan. And he used to send me messages all the time and we'd go back and forth. And I really started to hate him. I really started to not like him. And I went Bradford away on the Tuesday night in the cup when Beavers got sent off and Holloway was manager. He got sent off after like 20 minutes away, and he just walked down the tunnel like he didn't give a fuck. And I've actually got a video somewhere where the players are trying to come over and apologise and we're just telling them where to go. And that was the demise of Holloway. And then we obviously played him in the playoffs and Bradford away. That was a great result. And down there, I went to that game as well.
Bradford's
definitely one of them. I can't quite find any others that really bother me that bad. I just think, oh, they're annoying, or they usually pick a result off. Wickham Wanderers was another one that really bothered me in League One, because we went on a stretch once of like, I think it was like 14 games unbeaten, and Wickham like hadn't won in like 14. Something stupid like that, the complete opposite. But then we played Wickham, and I think they beat us like 3-0. Then we went on another run, and they went on another losing run, and then we drew the plan again, and they beat us again. Mm. Like, it was like twice they beat us, and they was off of losing runs each time. So Wickham are kind of annoying me, because I don't like Ainsworth as well. Like, I didn't really like him. And then I think from an actual proper legit football fan, MK Dons, I think everybody hates MK Dons.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But there isn't really too many that really, really bother me. But Bradford, outside of the main rivals, Bradford is probably the main one up there with your Leeds United. That really great on me.
And they still, to this day, cannot get over the fact that Morrison's goal was not given as offside. They still go on about
it. It might have been you, Stephen. It might have been you that shared it. This guy commenting, saying, was it you? Yeah, and I thought... Fucking hell, mate. Like, leave it alone. But in his defence, and I'm not going to defend him, like, that game, what that did to both clubs, because Bradford just went completely south and we've ended up stable. Like, that could have been us. You know, so I get his anger. I really do. I don't care that he's angry. I'm pleased. But I do ever so slightly understand. But it doesn't take away the fact that I fucking hate Bradford.
And earlier on, right back at the start, you mentioned the changes that you would make to the ground. So I'm going to obviously avoid that for now. But is there anything, if at all, that you would change about Millwall Football Club?
Oh, I like that question. That's good. Would I change anything about the club? I would change personnel. I would change certain things.
Right.
Above management level, but
that's the polite way of putting it.
Disregarding that, I don't actually know specifics about the club that I would change. I would like to have more stability with what we own with the club, you know, parking wise, and you know, you've got the community centre, things like that, and the actual ground itself. I'd like the training ground to be finished. Finalized, whatever's going to happen with it. I don't like that it's too far away from where we actually play football. I'd like it to be closer, because fans like to go and turn up to training and things like that. So there isn't really much about the club from an identity standpoint I'd change. I wouldn't change nothing from an identity standpoint. But yeah, a few little tweaks I would make with ownership of some things, where things may be placed, that sort of thing. But yeah, pretty boring answer, not too much.
And finally, two questions here, kind of wrap up and a little bit personal towards you. What's your favourite Millwall shirt all time?
See, I've got the signed CYC. Do you remember the CYC 2009, 2010, I think it was?
Yeah, yeah.
I've got that, the light blue one. I've got that, but I think my... And I quite liked that. I liked the 24-7. I did like the 24-7 because we had a good team then. But I think the all-time's got to be the Lewisham with a Spal sponsor. I love that. I absolutely love that. When you see the images of, like, shit when Sheringham wearing it and stuff like that blue and just how basic it was. And it's got that retro colour. You know, everything was like zigzags. Everything retro seems to be like a zigzag type shape.
Yeah.
So it had the retro feel about it. The blue with the little bit of white on it. Yeah, it's not too much going on. And, yeah, I love it. That's number one.
And finally, the best piece of Millwall memorabilia that you own.
I'm not a memorabilia guy. Unless it's Star Wars, I'm not a memorabilia guy. Now, I would go crazy if you offered me Millwall memorabilia or Star Wars memorabilia, I'm going to take Star Wars memorabilia. So
we're going to have a catch up off air after then, because I'm in the same boat there.
Star Wars, right. Brilliant. Yeah. that's something else in common there. Yeah. But I'm not really big on sports memorabilia. I've got that one signed shirt and that's it. I do keep my season tickets, but that's more of a weird hoarding type thing. I wouldn't say memorabilia from a game or a shirt that they've given me. But yeah, I've got a signed shirt, pretty plain. I think most people have got something like that when they support a club and travel around the country as much as sort of the likes of you and I do. But yeah, not much.
Well, that's it. Obviously, thank you for taking the time. Our listeners have hopefully got to know you a little bit better. You obviously grace us alongside me and Mickey and the other guys on the live shows. We'll obviously, for the listeners, we'll be seeing a lot more of Jay for the rest of the season and then carrying on into next season. Jay, any final words on the show?
No, not really. Just, you know, let's get the international break out of the way. Let's stay up and hopefully we can start moving forward as a club and these podcasts will get better with Championship football.
Absolutely. And guys, obviously, Jay is one of the panelists, but this is an opportunity for anybody, young or old, whether you've been going to the Den for 5 years or you've been going to the Den for 50 years to come on and tell your Millwall story. So if you'd like to get involved, drop us a message. If you'd like Jay to interview you, if you'd like Mickey to do it, me, it doesn't have to be me. It could be any of us. If you'd like to come on and do it, by all means, please drop us a message. As mentioned, we do Friday Night Live, Sunday Night Live. We've got Chat with Chaps that goes out. We're across all the socials, X, Instagram, all that good stuff. So if you can like and subscribe, we, myself and Jay and the other boys, really appreciate the support that you guys give us. It does mean a lot to us. So that's been Who Are You with Jay. Thank you very much for joining us and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.